All right. Good being here tonight. We're getting started about 60 seconds early. Pretty much right on time. But anyway, good to be here tonight. Good to see everybody. Hope everybody's been having a good week. Just feels like we were just here on Sunday, and here we are on Wednesday. So praise the Lord that we have this door of opportunity here to church week in and week out. I'm just going to say it up front and get it out of the way, but the Braves are moving on, and we won. And I know this is church, so we'll quieten down the sports talk, but I just want to get that out of the way and appreciate our Braves. All right, we have some things to mention tonight, as we do each and every Wednesday night, and we have some updates, and we're going to have a time of prayer. And tonight, Larry Bennett, he was scheduled for a colonoscopy. I believe it was for Monday, but they had to reschedule that, and so he wasn't. I guess I could just say it this way, wasn't fully prepared. So we'll leave it right there. But anyway, he's going back for that. Let me mention this before I forget. We had a couple visitors. Actually, we had three visitors this past Sunday morning. We had a reoccurring visitor Sunday night, a young man named Michael. And I'm sure he's downstairs right now. And I know you already have, but He's coming. Michael, this visitor, is not coming just because of Imani, his friend. He told me that. He's seeking spiritual things. And so let's pour into him, reach out to him all we can. I know you have been, but I have been as well, and we'll continue to. So we praise the Lord for that. But Sunday morning, we had three visitors, and two of them sat over here where about you guys are. And the man came up on the podium up here on the platform after the message Sunday morning and said, I wanted to get to you. I didn't want to voice it in front of everybody, but please pray for me. I'm having cataract surgery in a couple weeks. He says, that's minor to a lot of these other things that were mentioned. He says, but to me it's big. I said, well, it's big to me too because you mentioned it to me. So let's remember him, and they will be back to visit with us. As well. Some other good news. A couple people know about this, but let's see. We've had a visitor for some time now, Fletcher Denton. Fletcher Denton. He's been coming with Sissy and Slim. That's their nicknames. That's the only name I know them by. And they've been coming. Of course, all three of them have been coming regular. But I had a message after Sunday morning service, and Fletcher wasn't able to be here. But he said on my voicemail that he's been getting fed every sermon. But he said this past Sunday morning, he said God got his heart. He's been praying about it. And this coming up Sunday, he's joining the church, and he wants to join the choir too. So praise the Lord, Brother Jeff. We have another one with us up there. Praise the Lord that we have some that, you know, that wants to join and have been joining. But when they go a step further and want to join the choir, that's pretty neat, you know, filling up space in the choir. So I want to share that with you as well. Some good things are happening there. And remember Harold Dolph in your prayer, his granddaughter as well. He voiced that Sunday. Miss Connie Teague. Of course, the passing of her brother Tom this Saturday, I believe. Is that right, Miss Catherine? This Saturday. Is this an official memorial service? Do you know? Are they having? Yeah, that's.
They call it a celebration of life, and I think they're just doing it downstairs.
Okay, so nothing up here.
Yeah, that's what.
Okay, nothing traditional. Okay, I think that part was handled in Kentucky. Part of, they had a memorial in Kentucky. Okay. Anyway, let's remember that time that they're going to have together as a family. But also, Brother Alan Clayton, I want to talk about him for a moment. This morning, we were down there with him before he went in for surgery, him and Miss Terry and Amanda. And And so he went back to surgery, got a phone call shortly after that. Everything was great. It was successful. And they discharged him. But then I got a phone call going to get Lily from school at that time around 3 o'clock that they had evidently had went. First of all, they took his blood pressure. A nurse did at Douglasville Hospital. And his blood pressure was bottoming out. He was turning gray and pale. And she said, oh, it's fine. The machine is messing up. They discharged him. They left and went to O'Charley's to eat. I don't think I could be able to go anywhere and eat after a surgery like that. So he's a mighty man to be able to do that. But they went to O'Charley's. He went to the restroom, and he fainted in the restroom. And so they called the ambulance, and they rushed him back to the hospital. And that's the last bit I know. And so has anybody got any updates from that point? Okay. So let's lift up Brother Allen. We will pray for him specially tonight that God will touch him. The doctors will find out specifically all these other issues that's taken place with him fainting and being disoriented, not being able to tell what's what. That's very troublesome. And I would think it's separate from the hernia he had. I mean, you know, so he had hernia surgery and all these other things. So let's remember him tonight. Let's remember our children's home. Miss Joanne Rich spoke with her this week, earlier this week. And I believe that the blood clot has been dissolved, but now she's going to get injections and managing the pain is how I took it as to what she said. And so let's remember that Miss Joanne and her leg, her knee, the trouble she's having with it. All right, let's continue to remember Randy and Diane Ely, several that listen and watch but haven't been here in a while. Randy and Diane Ely, Don and Carla Rich, let's remember them. Richard Martin, Marianne Sanvey, Miss Cece Prestridge, Bobby and Nancy McClendon, Cassie Kronovich. Cassie told me she found some work, and so that's good. Leonard and Dolores Palmer, James and Shirley Townsend. Brother James, I want to mention this. Brother James has been having some problems with his breathing. He went to the heart doctor. They gave him Lasix. He's back home now. I don't think he was ever admitted. They just went there. But Miss Shirley is trying to get him to feeling better and breathing better. So let's remember Brother James and Miss Shirley in our prayers. The Daly's, the Ashworths, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Brenda Rawls, Melissa Slagle, Claudia Darby, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, all of our shut-ins, the McCrickards, Joyce Manning, others, all of those serving in the military, James Tolan Brown, Peyton Cochran. And Peyton Cochran, if you remember, this is Shiloh and Presley's brother. He's been gone so long in the military, it's Navy. I don't know. It's just it's different since he's not here. Of course, Kevin Brook at Bible College or Champion Christian College. Let's remember Fall Fellowship at the end of the month. But the Sunday before that, I'm saying this all backwards, but the fourth Sunday of this month will be Youth Sunday, morning and night. That fifth Sunday, that night will be our Fall Fellowship. And the third Sunday, again, I'm saying this backwards, we're approaching the second Sunday of the month. Next Sunday, in the PM service, Brother Townsend will be with us, sharing his ministry and preaching for us in the evening service. And so, again, this is the one that went to Peru, that's going back to Peru. And first name, Aaron. Sir? The banjo picker. And I got to remember to ask him to bring that banjo. All right. We'll open up the floor. Does anybody have any updates?
I sent CJ a message about him. And he says they've got him in a row.
understand that.
I have some good news.
Okay. Awesome, awesome.
What a blessing.
That is a blessing. Amen.
I am so proud of this person. So, so proud.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, that's immediate. That's an injection of hope. Going from atheist to ready to accept the Lord. There's so many in our world who have so many different belief systems, but are never too far from his reach. So praise the Lord from that. Thank you for sharing. Miss Sharon? I don't think so. Thank you for bringing that up, actually, because... Yeah, I think it's more or less just a family thing. We don't come. No, we don't. Miss Catherine, do you know? Okay. Miss Liella, do you know? My two basically secretaries. They had their time up in Kentucky, a memorial, and this is just going to be a time of fellowship. For family, celebration of life with food and a little bit of music.
Can I say something? You might want to ask her, just since she did announce it at church. I'm not saying it's what I'm just saying, since it was announced.
Good idea. All right, well, if we see you Saturday, we see you Saturday. Thank you, Miss Glenda, for bringing that. That's a good point. Anybody else? All right. Well, just remember those things. Everything I mentioned is in the bulletin, so grab a bulletin if you need to be reminded. And let me leave you with a prayer request myself. This situation has been handled today at Grace. I'm not going to rehash everything, but this week Lily's been getting bullied by a new girl, and out of all the kids in high school, she's the one. And I told her, I said, this is a direct assault from the devil. I said, I know that don't help you none with going in every day, but Monday it was kind of handled, and I was kind of unaware of it Monday. They just didn't want to tell me because they handled it. In which, if it's handled and it's over, nobody's hurt, then that's fine, because eventually I'll find out anyway. But second to that, today it was this girl screaming in her face, falling into the bathroom, popping her knuckles, all that kind of stuff. And I picked her up from school, and she started crying. She said, Dad, this is the first time anything like this has ever happened before. I wasn't afraid for my life. It was just an alarming experience. And I told her, and some parents may disagree with me, but and some school administrators may disagree with me. But I told her, I said, well, honey, growing up in school, I said, I was bullied. I used to get followed home, and two or three guys used to jump me every day after school until I had enough of it. And tonight I'm not promoting violence. I'm not promoting any of that. But we're trying to train our girl, if her back's against the wall and there's nobody around, to defend herself. And I stand on that. And I unapologetically say that again, that we're teaching her. I asked her, I said, do you want me to sign you up for Taekwondo? Do you want me to sign you up for fight lessons? Self-defense. And I do want to thank Pastor Bo, Brother Bo, Principal Bo, you know, he watches our services, and so I do want to thank him for stepping in and handling this and squash the girls. She is not coming back this week, and he assured me that it's over. And I wouldn't say nothing to you guys that I wouldn't say to him that I haven't already said. But again, the Lord has burdened my heart for teenagers, and it has a lot to do with, because I have a teenager, I know. But, I mean, this past Sunday morning preaching, mentioning the whole cell phone thing. Listen, there is an entire world behind the scenes. Things are being plotted. Things are being planned. These kids are smart. They're so smart. They have fake apps that they know their parents go to first to check. And they're decoys. They're decoys. And really, there's these other apps. There's even an app that it looks like a calculator. But you tap on it, and it's all of these other social media sites where you can interact with teenagers, grown people. It is absolutely scary. So Principal Bo, he wants me to speak again next Wednesday at their chapel, and I'm going to, but y'all pray for me, that in the right kind of spirit and with the right message, I can address what is burdening my heart right now. And so I want to take advantage of that. All right. But Lily's fine tonight, so anything else? All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Those who want to meet us in the altar can. I want to pray for Brother Allen in the lesson tonight. I really have something on me tonight I want to share. That I think will be a help. There's some supposed to be tuning in to listen to this particular lesson, and so I kind of want to move forward on to the lesson just after our singing. Dear Lord, tonight we come to you in Jesus' name. While your children are gathered around the altar and in their seats, they're praying themselves, I'm sure, and that's fine, but I just wanted to openly and audibly pray. Lord, tonight we lift up Brother Allen, who is back in the hospital. He just left earlier today, had some complications, Lord, with his blood pressure. Lord, we all here tonight, on his behalf, interceding for him, lift him up to you. You're the great physician. You know exactly what's going on with him. And so I pray, Lord, that you would balance his blood pressure out to a healthy rate, a healthy spot. And Lord, that you would make him feel better. Lord, he's been through enough already. The surgery today, but prior to, Lord, all of these fainting experiences, not eating. Lord, only you know exactly what's going on with him. You created his body. And so, Lord, I pray that you would send the right doctor, the right nurses through there tonight and days ahead, doctor's appointments, Lord, that might be able to identify what's going on. I pray that you would heal him from his surgery of the hernia. But, Lord, that you would continually work toward getting him better on these other things. Father, tonight we lift up our teenagers. Dear God, what a lion's den this world is. So many temptations and so many things pulling at our lambs, God. They're our lambs. And this world is filled with lions of all ages. God, I just pray that you would protect our kids, God. Protect my kid. Protect our children home kids. Protect Calvary kids. Lord, protect all of the kids in this world. I do not believe there are any bad kids. There's just bad parenting for some. So Lord, I pray that even with this situation with Lily at her school, that the parents, Lord, would take heed how they parent their child, and that there might be a difference in that little girl at school, that teenage girl, so everybody can learn. That's why they go to schools, to learn. But Lord, I pray that us, me, the other of those that are middle-aged and the ones that are older than me, the older-aged individuals and the seniors, God, would continually live out the Christian life in front of them, always have an ear for them, a hand to help them, dear Lord, like we already do, but just help us be always intent on their behavior, Lord, because teenagers are in need of help all the time. Help us be available mentally and physically. And Father, tonight we lift up all these other requests, all the other situations that are going on. We give you praise for those that had good report tonight. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you for those that are here. We thank you for those that are watching. And Lord, we thank you for what you've been doing here at Calvary. I pray that you'll continually do things little by little, because we know that little makes the whole. And Father, we're wanting to do your work and build your church. I pray that you'll give us the energy and the ability to do so. Bless these that have come. Bless our young people tonight as they worship downstairs. Give us protection as we worship in this building from the elements on the outside and the people. Be with us in a mighty way tonight, and I'll praise you for it. We will praise you for it, and we will thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. All right, Brother Jeff, you got one for us?
Yes.
I have one more request, prayer request to mention, and spoke with Miss Shauna Bendy, or texted here a little bit ago, and she wanted me to mention her situation as it stands, and I told her I wouldn't forget, and I didn't. Of course, I've been praying for her all along anyway, but Michael is not feeling well. He's under the weather tonight. But Ms. Shauna is going for another MRI and a MRV, in addition to another spinal tap and possible brain shunt. And they're taking her off her IIH meds. We're praying for her. If you're watching, Ms. Shauna, we're praying for you. Not really sure what all that entails, but thank you for sharing that with me and keeping us up to speed. We are certainly praying for you as you try to pinpoint what's going on with you. All right, this evening, last Sunday, or actually the Sunday before last, we looked at spiritual anger management for the morning service and the evening service on that Sunday. Basically, we talked about anger. And then last Wednesday night in our Wednesday night service, we talked about anxiety. We talked about worry. And tonight I want to continue talking about these different emotions that we are confronted with. And I want to talk about depression tonight. I want to talk about depression. And the title is Dealing with Depression. Dealing with Depression. Let me say before I go any further that I am not a medical doctor. I do have a doctorate degree in ministries. I've taken several courses in counseling. And so what I'm going to share tonight is compiled from my studies in counseling and my own experience with depression. I've had it before, and also with the experience of others. And so I just want to get that out there. I don't want to be sued by anybody watching that may take what I say and do something they shouldn't do or should do. There's a lot I would like to say about this subject tonight and different opinions of mine I'd like to give, but I'm not going to do that. I only want to talk about its reality. The reality of depression in our world and the reality of depression in some of our lives. And my goal is to bring us to a biblical conclusion. That's what I want to do tonight. We may get through, we may not. I want to give you a story as we start the lesson tonight by a man named Martin Luther. Not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther. And he was born in 1483. And then he died in 1546. Now, before I read the story, I want to say that this is a story of a man of faith and his struggle and victory with depression. Martin Luther was a former teacher in the monastery. He was a monk. He often battled with doubt and temptation during his time in the monastery. This had nearly driven him to be a madman. Finally, his discovery of justification by faith alone saved his life. These things, along with a sickness in his town which he grew very sick from, caused him to have depression. Luther's depression was always marked by the same symptoms: a feeling of profound aloneness, a loss of faith that God is good, and an inward self-reliance. His depression was always marked by those three things. A great man of faith, and the feeling of profound loss or aloneness, a loss of faith in God that He is good, and an inward self-reliance. The more regular hurting people sought Him as a physician of the soul, the more responsibility he felt for his teaching and writing. This, with his struggles and dark spots in his life, anxiety, sickness, and unbelief, drove him to the brink of despair. In a letter he wrote to a friend in August of 1527, he said this. He said, "I spent more than a week in death and hell. My entire body was in pain. Completely abandoned by Christ, I labored in my storms of desperation. But through the prayers," this is what he wrote to his friend, "but through the prayers of my friends, God began to have mercy upon me and pull me from the angry waves of adversity into His loving arms, where at once I realized I wasn't abandoned at all. Satan's assaults made me feel as though I was, but I wasn't. I was always in God's scope and close to His side. The devil had a way with me, turning insects into camels. So from underneath despair, the sun began to shine, giving me hope." Luther went on to say in that letter that he was exceeding thankful that God deemed him worthy of such a visitation that calmed all his fears, cleared his head, and soothed his heart. And tonight, that was just a little quick rundown story, one of the many stories of depression in Martin Luther's life. And so with that story, we can stand back and glean that if the great one struggled with depression, we too can struggle with this infirmity called depression. Tonight I want to give some things I want to share with you concerning this infirmity of depression. And again, the whole goal is to just end with a biblical conclusion, so that we might know what to do if we ever find ourselves in this dark spot. Number one tonight, the definition of depression. What does depression actually mean according to the Webster's Dictionary? The definition of depression is defined as an emotional condition, either neurotic or psychotic, characterized by feelings of hopelessness, inadequacy, gloom, dejection, sadness, difficulty concentrating, inactivity. That's the definition of depression. And let me just say tonight that if you ever feel different, if you ever feel odd, if you ever feel strange, like there's been a change in your life, I would certainly pay attention to this, because you could be having a bout of depression. Could be, not necessarily, but could be. Depression is probably responsible for causing more pain and distress than any other affliction to mankind, most believe. It is often difficult to describe its symptoms and to treat because the symptoms are so many. And a lot of times people can't describe how they're actually feeling. It takes sitting down with a counselor, and I say biblical counselor, because it matters that our counseling be undergirded with Bible principles. Sometimes it takes sitting down with a counselor and having them open up and talk before they realize what their actual root problem is, which causes them to be depressed. What about some symptoms of depression? I read the definition, but here's some symptoms that go along with that. Feelings of negative self-image, guilt, shame, self-criticism, hopelessness, constant sadness, thoughts of suicide, Also, those who have depression, depression may lead to sinful behavior or behavioral problems. A person may seek to find relief by diving into some things they shouldn't be for any kind of relief. That's why I'm really quick to give the benefit of the doubt to people, because you just don't know the battles that they're facing. You say, well, Brother Justin, they're an alcoholic. Well, my thing is, what led them to be an alcoholic? Well, Brother Justin, they're a drug addict and they're out of church. Well, what led them to be a drug addict and get them out of church? And so we've got to be easy and quick to give the benefit of the doubt, because there's root problems. Many times people, they dive right into to sinful things, or just things that aren't sinful necessarily. They're just not the best thing for them, but can become a weight or a sin. Isolation is a symptom of depression. Sometimes people retreat and stay isolated from family and friends. Difficulty performing your daily duties, difficulty performing your job or everyday tasks, all of these could be a sign of depression in someone's life. Now, I do want to say tonight that there is no quick snap out of depression. Months and sometimes even years of counseling with a biblical perspective may be needed to unravel and unwind what all is taking place in a person's life. All right? And so we need to remember that. No quick snaps. On occasion, there's obvious things in a person's life that could free them from this weight. Sometimes it is ongoing contrary behavior to the Bible. Sometimes it is a habitual sin that will be weighty on a person that could cause them to be depressed, have feelings of guilt, especially if they haven't repented of it and asked God to forgive them for it. If it's a continual thing, it can definitely weigh upon the soul. All right, so there's no quick snap. There's all these symptoms, and depression is probably the number one affliction that's done more damage in all of mankind through the years. So basically, that's the definition of the word depression. Number two, let's look at the different causes of depression. The different causes. Now, what I want to mention tonight, these causes, these are actual cases I've had to deal with as a pastor since I've been in ministry. This is my third church. We started out at Zion View off Factory Shoals and off Thornton Road over there in Lithia Springs, and then Pleasant Hill right down the road from here, and then Calvary. And so these are some of the cases I've dealt with people with depression. Of course, there are hundreds of things that can cause it, but here's just a few. Death of a family member or a friend can cause depression. Financial ruin or trouble with finances can cause depression. Rebellious children can cause depression. Job loss can cause depression. Job pressures can cause depression. And remember what some of the symptoms are. It affects everything in your life. Marital trouble can cause depression. Divorce can cause depression. World events can cause depression. Physical pain. Long-term illness of a family member. Broken friendships can cause depression. Someone who is single and is really trying to find a companion but cannot, this can cause depression for someone. This can cause someone to isolate. This can cause someone to dive into sinful habits. All of these can. Dating failure. Someone who's unable to have kids can cause depression. Unable to reach personal goals. Now, I want to park on this one for a moment, because this is an area in times past that I've struggled in. And I've learned how to set different goals. Short-term goals, long-term goals. But not succeeding in personal goals can cause a person to have depression. Someone said one time, do you know what the definition of insanity is? And the answer to that is doing the very same thing over and over and expecting a different result. It's a vicious cycle. And so when a person has goals and they're not achieving those goals, it can cause a person to, you know, to be depressed and to retreat and to have not a lot of self-confidence and critique themselves. Again, there are hundreds of things that can cause depression in a person's life, but those were just a few things. And so that's the different causes of depression. And then we looked at the definition of depression. And now I want to spend the rest of the service tonight looking at the direction of depression. Meaning, what direction should you take, should I take, if we're suffering? Well, number one, I have to say this. If you're suffering tremendously, then see your primary care doctor if need be. I'm trying not to make this feel like you're at the doctor's office / Bible school. But it, depending on the level of your suffering, go see your primary care doctor, please. But second to that, and really before that, and along with that, the direction we should be heading with any kind of mental suffering is Scripture. Is Scripture. I'm not saying that it's a quick snap out of it to fix us, to fix a person who's suffering, but I will say it is the solution for every problem we could ever have on this earth. The Bible is our manual for life. Y'all know that. That's why you're here tonight. The Bible is our manual for life. And so we must understand not only that, but if we are true believers in Jesus, been saved by the grace of God, we have to understand that we walk a walk of faith. We're up against all of hell and its misfits. We have to understand that tonight. A saved person's wrestle is so different than a lost person's wrestle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and all of those spiritual atmospheres and principalities and the misfits, again, that help the devil out. We wrestle against all of those things. It's the unseen spirit world is what we wrestle with, and it's a real thing. And so while a lost person that doesn't know Jesus and the hope that's found in Jesus and the promises from Jesus' word, they can't claim that to help them unless they come to him in salvation first. So they go to the bottle, they go to drugs, they go to seeking after wealth and fame and all of that. Some of the most miserable people you'll actually meet are movie stars and ball players and people who have boatloads of money, because money does not solve the problem. But a saved person has a manual for life. A saved person has the incorruptible Word of God planted in their hearts, given at the new birth. That's what Peter says. Peter says that, and I believe John says that in the epistles, that the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. And because we embrace the Word of God at salvation, we too will live and abide forever, because His seed remaineth in us. And so we have a whole different perspective here. And so we're struggling with depression. We're struggling with hardship and heartache. We're not living like the lost person is according to the world. We're living against a whole other set of standards, the Bible. So now we have promises we can claim. We have verses we can hang our hat on at the end of the day. And so the question is, Brother Justin, what are some verses that I can use as a child of God to help me with my depression while I seek out a doctor. Okay? I'll give you some verses. Glad you asked. These are just a few verses tonight. These are verses that you've read before. These verses are on pictures. These verses are in picture frames. People even have these verses tattooed on them. And so, but the difference is tonight is looking at these verses through a cloud of depression that someone may be struggling with, and seeing how that it can actually, once embraced, how it can actually give you hope and encouragement. It's really a remarkable thing. All right. Let me say this before we read the verse. First verse is Philippians 4:13. You go ahead and turn there. Read every day. Read every day these verses if you're struggling with depression. Learn to depend on these verses every day. These verses I'm getting ready to give to you. Philippians 4:13. Unless you need something, you won't learn to rely on something. And so if you're struggling in this area and with the hope these verses offer and you're a child of God, you can learn how to depend on those verses and actually see God honoring His Word while you're learning to depend on these verses. Philippians 4:13. You there, Brother Jeff? Won't you read that for us tonight? That's amazing, Brother Jeff. You can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. And so that verse literally tells us that God, that Christ will strengthen us. Now he says, I can do all things. Okay, let me just rule out one thing that this verse does not mean. I'm not good at basketball. I'm just not. There is no way that I can hit a basketball, go to a basketball court, and slam dunk like Michael Jordan used to. There's no way that I can hit three-pointers like Larry Bird used to. And so this verse is not telling me that I can be like Michael Jordan through the strength that God gives me. It's not saying that. But it can be interpreted that way for somebody who's new to reading the Bible. I believe what this verse is saying is, the things that God wants me to do, I can do. The things that are nourishing for my soul, that are good for my body, that promote the cause of Christ, I can do those things. Now the question is tonight, without getting too deep theoretically, does Jesus want us to have victory over depression? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. Now, sometimes He allows some of His best to suffer from it, but the secret things are the Lord's. We don't know about those things. We know that Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. We know that he suffered with some kind of infirmity, and he asked three times, would God remove it? And that last time, the Lord answered and spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient for you. And so the Lord called Paul to be an apostle, and yet while he was trying to be this apostle, he had this infirmity that was in his way, and he felt like he could serve God better if it was removed. God said, I'm not going to remove it, but I'll give you strength to endure it. And Paul, something dawned on him. What dawned on him was that when I'm weak, I'm most dependent on Christ. And he came to the conclusion that basically, if I feel strong and I feel capable, I'm not that dependent on Christ. And tonight, that's the truth. So should we pray for hardship? Don't you do it. Don't you pray for hardship tonight. Should we pray for don't you pray for depression tonight. I ain't praying for depression. I'm not praying for hardship. I am definitely not praying that this little girl keeps up her activity at school against Lily. I'm not praying for that. But what I am saying tonight is this. Come what may, God will match strength for strength. Come what may. He'll give us shoes of iron, the Bible says in the Old Testament, if I'm saying that the right way. He will give us the ability, strength for strength, if it's something that we're supposed to be doing or something that is allowed for us to do as believers that pleases Him. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And tonight, the two words for this verse is I can. I can. And so no matter what happens when you leave here tonight and you go home before you get back on Sunday, the devil may tell you you can't about everything. The devil may tell you, your flesh may tell you, your depression may tell you if you have it, your anxiety may tell you that you're a failure or you can't do this, you'll never have victory over it. You tell whoever, I can. I can. Because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, and He wants me to be well. He wants me to be capable. And so tonight, I can. Now, Romans 8:28, you already know it. But we're going to read on past verse 28. And Romans 8:28 through verse number 39 is the word nothing. The word nothing. Now remember, these are verses to read every day and to learn to depend on them. The word nothing, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, listen to this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow. He also did predestinate or predetermine to be conformed or fashioned alike to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. I just want to stop for a moment, quickly say, God's purpose for all of our life tonight is at least this one thing, to be conformed to look like Jesus. And whatever measures He uses, whatever things He allows, the good, the bad, the ugly, He uses all things together for our good and His glory, that we may look like His Son. Verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? Verse 31. Who could be against us? What can be against us? Is what He's saying. Verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. That's a blessing. He's alive tonight. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He's praying for us tonight. Jesus is. The Holy Spirit interprets when we go to pray what we're really saying to God, but He's making intercession for us tonight to be overcomers. Verse 35, who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? You ever felt like you were going through so much and the challenges were so real and hard in your life that you was going to come apart or that somehow you was going to be just lost in your misery or abandoned somehow? He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? That the first two describe a lot of situations, but certainly depression. Verse number 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Verse 37 says, we have already conquered. In fact, we are more than a conqueror. He says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. So not only we've already conquered, but we're more than a conqueror through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, talk about that earlier, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so the word for all of these verses tonight is nothing. Is nothing, if you want to write that down. Nothing. Nothing will separate you. Nothing will remove you from his hand, nor separate you from his love. Whatever you go through, you'll be going through it in his hand, by his side, with his love. All right, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14. We've got quite a few, may not get to them all tonight, but I do want to take a moment on this one. I could probably quote it to you, but I won't turn there. Hebrews 4, verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The phrase for these verses is, there's a way. There's a way. Sunday night we talked about mercy, and we talked about how we need mercy and how that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Verse 15 tells us that we have someone who knows what it's like and then to live in the flesh. And then verse 16 tells us that there's a way. There is an entrance. There is a place we can go to that we can find grace to go, grace to help in our time of need. We have a place that we can go to where we can obtain mercy, where God will be merciful to us. He says in the book of James that those that are humble, he gives grace to. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. And so he talks about humility there. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so we can obtain mercy and find grace. Tonight, there's a way. There's a way to get through this thing, I promise you. Don't turn there, I'll just give it to you. One of my favorite verses, 1 Peter 5:7. And it's the word all. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That verse right there does it. There is nothing that you will ever experience or go through where he's not interested in helping you. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's 1 Peter 5, verse number 7, the word all. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. I'll turn there. You can turn if you like. 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9. Listen to this. Two phrases. Not alone, not destroyed. 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Those verses tell us that we are not alone and we are not destroyed. We have someone with us to help us. There's times, of course, Paul being the writer here, there are times where he felt this way. We may feel like that it's over. This is going to get me. I mean, it's going to claim my life. The scripture wants us to know that if we're doing everything we're supposed to do, and we're living according to these verses, we may feel that way, And if we are taken away, it's because God wanted us to be taken away. But if we're not taken away, it's just something that we feel that we're going to be destroyed. Sometimes we feel like we're just going to be destroyed. It's going to get the best of us. But with God on our side and God with us, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. That's 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9. Not alone, not destroyed. Verse 16 and 18 of the same chapter, book and chapter, this deals with perspective. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. There's that word yet. I preached on that word. It's been a while, but I preached. That was the title, the word yet. There's so many yets in the Bible. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is for but for a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The word perspective. Perspective. We may feel like we're going down. Our bodies may ache and hurt. We may be plagued with a dark cloud of depression. But the Bible says, though the outward man is feeling these things, the inward man, the new man who is being revived every day by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's the one that makes us that we can get up and get back in the saddle one more time. For though, he says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. He says in verse 17, this is a light affliction. Verse number 18, there are eternal things to stare at. And so this has to do with perspective while dealing with depression. Chapter number 11 is 2 Corinthians. And verse number 23 through 28. Listen to this. This is Paul and some of the hardships he went through. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have spent. I have been in the deep. Can you imagine that? Out in the ocean? Didn't tell us how deep the water was, so I'm guessing he's doggy paddling. Either that or he has some, well, in one place he says on broken boards and pieces he went to shore. In verse 26, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in, excuse me, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. As if that wasn't enough, here comes verse 38. Beside those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. What is Paul talking about there? He's saying this, I've been through a lot, but there was something that got me through it. It was the grace of God that got me through it. It was God's grace and God's mercy that got me through it. And so tonight, the phrase here for these verses is, I wrote down grace to continue. God will give us grace. He'll give us grace to continue no matter where we may find ourselves. I've never been... I've never spent a night and a day in the deep. I've never fell off a boat. I mean, you know, however that happened. I've been swimming in the ocean, but I've gotten out of the ocean and back on the boat or on the shore. I could not imagine just that one thing Just that one thing. I heard not long ago there was a young boy rescued who'd been out at sea for, I think it was 2 weeks, something like that, in an ice box. And it was open, and it was floating, and he was just in the ice box for two weeks or more. And a boat came by one day and got him. Can you imagine in the sea where Jaws is at? You know? Where Jaws is at? And all the mother crazy fish are at way out there in an ice box for 2 weeks. I just could not imagine. Paul mentions all kinds of things here, but just that one thing, I think God can get, in His grace, can get me through my problems. And then, of course, there's Philippians 4:8. I'll just throw these out there. You can jot them down if you like. We mentioned this one last Wednesday with anxiety, but Philippians 4:8 has to do with our thought life. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, and so forth and so on. Think on these things. We have to retrain ourselves how to think, because we're living in such a crazy world where there's trouble on every side, where we end up thinking the very worst just because what we see on the news and things that happen in our own lives and families, we end up thinking the worst. We have to retrain ourselves, especially if you're dealing with depression. You have to work on your thought life. Philippians 4:8 is a good one. Another one, Psalm 42. We won't even touch it tonight. The whole chapter is a great chapter on hope. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? The writer deals with that there. Isaiah 40, verse number 29 through 31, deals with empowerment. Those verses sound familiar to you, I'm sure. Talking about waiting upon the Lord, He'll renew your strength. And then I want to leave you with this tonight. I mentioned this Sunday night about the man Habakkuk. But I want to conclude with Habakkuk, Noah, Daniel, and Job, all in one breath. That Habakkuk, if you read the book, he thought God didn't care. He spent that whole first chapter, Lord, why is there not righteousness? Why isn't righteousness prevailing? Why is there lawlessness prevailing? Lord, why won't you do something? In essence, Habakkuk, the prophet, thought that God didn't care. And of course, by the end of the book, we know chapter number 3, he said, in your wrath, remember mercy. And so he knew that God cared by the end of the book. God was listening the whole time. He was there the whole time. He was taking note the whole time. God cared. God cares about you. God cares about me. He's with us the whole time. Start, middle, and finish. It's just according to whatever His ultimate plan is when He turns the page. And then in Ezekiel, the Bible talks about Noah, Daniel, and Job. We already said it. We won't rehash. But Noah building the ark. All those years, he had a question at times. I mean, what, 120 years at least, something like that. Faithfully building that ark. God, you said it was going to rain. I remember the day you told me to go for wood. Go for wood. And, so he went for wood. He went for gopher wood. And but here it is, all these years later, no rain. And then Daniel in the lion's den, and then Job. As well, at the same time, God, do you care? But in conclusion, can somebody tell me the end of the book of Job? What happened? I don't mean to sound cliche or like a TV preacher, but God gave him double for his trouble. He did. He did. And I wish we had the time to go there to the end of the book of Job. In the numbering of his kids and all, because there's something special there. I'll leave that up to you to go look. But Job, not only did he have more kids, but he still had his kids in heaven, of course. But all that's at the end of the book of Job. God gave him double for his trouble. And so we said all that to say this tonight, that the direction that we should head in with depression, discouragement, anxiety, anger, any of it, and all of it, as we ought to head to the Scriptures. And look at these examples that we have And if the suffering is too bad, like I said earlier, always go to the doctor. All right. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for who you are. We're just a family of believers that are assembled tonight together to pray, to read your word, to get some kind of encouragement, some glimmer of hope. We all have different lives. We all have different routines. God, you know every person. You know every situation. Those watching even, I pray that you would use your word tonight to minister to everyone's heart. May we run to the word, Lord, in time of need. But God, we know sometimes you also want us to go to the doctor, because I believe you've given us doctors to help. And so, Father, we just give you all of our cares and concerns. Keep us safe as we leave. Bring us back safely on Sunday to worship you. We'll praise you. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Anything to mention before we close? All right. Well, you're at liberty to go, and everybody be safe.